Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. We are your co-hosts, Peter Eyre and David Robbins, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. On June 30th, the Commerce Secretary and OMB Director issued guidance to agencies to help the federal government maximize, consistent with law, the policy and the statutory mandate to buy domestically manufactured products in its contracts and grants and minimize use of exceptions and waivers pursuant to the White House's Executive Order 13788. Agencies are to 1. Evaluate and report on their oversight of the Buy American Act and other Buy American laws, including the Berry Amendment. 2. Review the enforcement of the Buy American laws and the use of exemptions or waivers as defined in the executive order. And 3, develop and propose policies for their agencies to ensure that federal procurements maximize the use of materials produced in the United States, again, consistent with law. Such reports are due to Commerce and OMB by September 15th, 2017. Over to you, Peter.
Thanks, David. On June 28th, Representative Thornberry, who's the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, introduced his proposal for the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2018. On June 29th, 2017, the HASC authorized $696.5 billion in defense spending. The proposal contemplates a number of defense policy changes, including a continued acquisition overhaul. On June 29th, the Senate Armed Services Committee also passed its draft of the annual authorization measure, with a different top line and a different set of priorities that will have to be reconciled in the coming months. In OIG news, on July 7, 2017, the DoD Office of Inspector General issued its report on the Defense Logistics Agency's compliance with Berry Amendment and Buy America Act. The OIG audit reviewed 32 contracts requiring Berry Amendment compliance and 56 contracts requiring compliance with the BAA. The OIG report found that DLA personnel failed to meet BAA requirements on a quarter of the relevant contracts and failed to comply with the Berry Amendment for two-thirds of the relevant contracts. The OIG noted that during the course of the audit, some contracting personnel corrected deficiencies as they were identified by modifying contracts and conducting training on both domestic sourcing restrictions. As OIG reports may be signals of ways to come in terms of oversight and compliance, this may be worth watching. David, back to you.
Thank you, Peter. For those who follow the evolving trends and guidance concerning the impact of, I guess what I call self-help discovery, or perhaps stated more directly, theft of employer documents to support a quitam or other whistleblower claim, a June 28th decision out of the District Court for the District of Alaska, U.S. Ex Rel. Theris versus Afognak Native Corp., is worth a read. After extensive discovery as to who viewed these documents and how they were used, the defendants moved to dismiss the relator's complaint as a sanction for abusive litigation tactics. The court concluded that dismissal was not appropriate because, 1, even though the conduct was willful, the misconduct and the matters in controversy are not such that the misconduct threatens to interfere with a rightful decision on relator's claims and defendant's defenses, and 2, although the handling of the attorney-client privilege documents interfered with the expeditious resolution of the case, defendants were not prejudiced by relators and his attorney's access to and minimal use of the 9 privileged documents that were in the cache of the materials taken by relator. The court allowed instead for the defendants to seek an award of fees against the relator.
On July 5th, GAO denied a protest where the protester, AT Solutions, otherwise known as ATS, argued that the Navy unreasonably declined to reopen discussions to allow it to replace unavailable key personnel. ATS protested the Navy's elimination of its proposal from consideration for a task order for operation and training support services after ATS notified the Navy that one of its key employees under the incumbent contract had resigned. Because the same employee had been proposed as key in ATS's proposal, the Navy determined that ATS was no longer considered technically acceptable. ATS argued that the Navy unreasonably declined to reopen discussions to afford it an opportunity to substitute another key personnel in the open position. GAO rejected ATS's argument, noting that the Navy had already engaged in 2 rounds of discussions and that it was within the Navy's discretion to decline to reopen discussions with ATS for purposes of proposal revisions.
It's a really interesting decision, Peter, I think, because the longer these things stretch, the longer awards take to issue, the more likely it is that employees and key personnel might resign, and it just presents a compliance and proposal risk for everybody in this area. It's definitely worth watching, and I appreciate the summary. With that, we'll close, and this has been the Fastest 5 Minutes, brought to you by Kroll & Mooring. See you again in 2 weeks. If you have any questions about these items, Peter can be reached at 202-624-2807, and I can be reached at 202-624-2627.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.